I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the episode of the After Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host Peter, joined by Donny. How are you, Donny?
I'm very well, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. And special guest, you say Happy Fantasy Podcast Cup winner. That's not true. That's wishful thinking. FFS Royal Rumble winner and previous winner of previous cup, Melvin Poole. How are you doing, Melvin?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, Peter. Thanks for having me. Great to be back.
No problem. So we'll do what we always do. We're winner on the podcast. You talk us through how you're having such a great season again. You've won another cup. And I can't remember, did you finish pretty high last season? Was last season a blip? Was it a season before you were finished high?
Last season, I think it was top 50. I think season before was 11th or something, something like that. Yeah.
So basically, if there was some sort of thing of like a average finish in the game, I know the game didn't have that facility, but he'd be quite high up. So listen, people can know your accent, you're not from Scotland, so take us through how you pick this team, how you watch it. Do you watch your fixtures? Do you use stats? I'll let you take it away when you go.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll sort of give you I won't bore you too much, but I'll give you sort of how I sort of went through the Royalty Rumble. So, in terms of how I play the game very quickly is that I clearly listen to your podcast. It's the main thing. There's a couple of others. Kelfish and Sooty Show, the tickers and the stats from that. So it's sort of those and you guys. And I do watch a bit of it. We've got Sky Sports and it's on. I did watch Ross County Rangers the other day and was very disappointed in my players that were in that. But so we have got that sort of down south. Sort of do watch some of that. And sort of keep up with sports scene and stuff like that. But I just love fantasy football. And I just love the fact that the Fantasy Football Scotland's got a few sort of tweaks that I really like in bench tricks and vice captain with the goals and stuff like that. And the community's great as well when you sort of look on Twitter. So I'm not that active on Twitter, but, you know, most of my activity is more around probably Fantasy Football Scotland than it is FPL and stuff like that. So... yeah, so I think it's a great game and long may it continue. So in terms of sort of the Royalty Rumble then, it's sort of the way I sort of play the game. So I think it started on game week 23. It seemed to be a good time to wild card because it was the triple game week. And I had at the time a couple of Livy players, a couple of Kilmarnock players. And I didn't have any Dundee and I only had one, two Aberdeen players. So I sort of done a mass change, about seven or eight changes on my wild card. And that really helped. And I set it up actually for double game week 26 and 30. So I think Aberdeen had this run of three doubles or triples and doubles and Dundee as well. So I sort of set that up. I think you're always going to have Rangers and Celtic in your side, but also there was a little bit about team value as well. Team value in Fantasy Football Scotland isn't, once you get to this stage of the season, you've got quite a bit of money, but actually every little helps, as they say. And I think I gained about 0.8 on my wild card in game week 23, so that will obviously help sort of going forward. And I bench boost as well, So I essentially got, I had a really good start in the Royalty Rumble, and I just sort of, you know, held on, I think, right until the end. So I had 147 on game week 23. I did play my bench boost, and I was really pleased. I got fifth. I worked out about 15, a doubling goalkeeper, I think, on your bench boost in Fantasy Football Scotland is the key, because you haven't got the bench trick. You can't bench trick a goalkeeper. You can bench trick the other players. So as long as you've got sort of two double game week players in terms of your goalie. And then in terms of sort of how a couple of pivotal moments, I debated on whether triple captaining Miofsky because he had three games. But I thought the vice captain on him was enough in that triple game week, because Tav is Tav. And he picked up 13 points anyway from the double game week, and I captained him. So, and I really wanted to sort of hold on to my triple captain, because I think Rangers had St Johnstone and Ross County, I think it was, later on, which was more appealing than what the other fixtures were. So, so I sort of done that. A couple of other pivotal moments were the next sort of double game week that we moved on to was game week 26, when I triple captain Tav. So he got his big 105 points. But I had Butland on my wild card, and I wanted to attack the double. So I did take a -4 in game week 26, and I swapped Butland for effectively Dessers, and I brought in Wickens as my non-playing keeper. And I got rid of Bakayoko, who I did have on my wild card. And Dessers actually did me good on 26 and 27, because he pulled up 27 and 26 points for me. So, yeah, I think I was sort of pleased with that. And then I think game week 30 was the other one where I brought in Armstrong and Mayaluda, is it, from Hibernian, who essentially I actually vice-captained Mayaluda, and then Tav dropped out. I think that was the game that got postponed, and effectively gave Rangers a blank, and I had Mayaluda, so he became my captain. He did only gain me an extra 4 points, but it was what I was happy with that. So yeah, I think they were sort of the main takeaways from sort of, you know, from how I just played the Royalty Rumble as I played a normal game, really. I didn't really look at what everyone else was doing. I just sort of carried on as I normally would. Planning for me is the key. Just planning, looking at the fixtures, you know, bringing somebody in, not for that game week, but for the next two or three or four game weeks, maybe. And I think, yeah, that's how it went. And I was quite pleased. I did take three lots of -4 at the very end, one of which I would say paid off and the other two didn't really. They were probably just sort of netted out. So, not sure I'd really advise too many hits in Fantasy Scotland because you got your bench trick and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Good. I just checked for the group set when you were talking to see, and you pretty much did lead for the front. I think it was only 1 point in the kind of final group. Mel Stars was close to, I think he was in front of you for two game weeks, but then as it got to the nitty-gritty again, you went ahead, and I was looking there, he was the closest to you, but it was getting every game week, you were getting too far ahead that it was getting to the point where unless he comes out of the park, you were going to squish it. Any questions to add, Donnie? You covered that quite well.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who listens to the show knows that Melvin's got a history in this game. He beat me in a cup final, which I won't let him forget, and he's obviously won this one before, so he knows his stuff, which I guess we should take credit for as the podcast. So, it's good that you've done well, but no, you've got to be consistent. Having won a cup before, that's the key to it, is be consistent, trust the process, and try not to take too many hits. That's probably been the biggest downfall of my season and where I'm at. I've just had a nightmare this season, but no, well done. It's hard going to win a cup, and to win multiple cups is a credit to you, especially not being north of the border where it's all going on. But no, well done.
Well, caveat for that, nice one there, Donnie, because the next cup, the draw will get made later. I've got a supercomputer set up. Hopefully the laptop doesn't break. And by end of play tonight or tomorrow, I'll have put the names in and I'll get the draw put up and it'll be online. And as much as people, if there's only 32 people this week, because I lost track of time a couple of holidays this year, so hopefully back to normal next year. And I'll put all the rules up as usual when I post it, but it's like last year, it's a bracket kind of draw, so game one plays game two and so on and so forth. So the only way you can meet game 16 would be the final. So I don't need to do much drawing after that. But anyway, I digress. So before we go into our kind of this week's giving more looking at the form and fixtures of the teams for the split. Now we've got that all kind of finalised. I'll just go through our score and rank for the last game week, and we'll go from bottom to top. Donny, so I'll let you go first.
I'm not having a great season. My game week score for the last game week was 89 points. So I had Roos and goals for 7, Portales, Dundee, 11, Captain Taff, 34, Devlin, 7, Coon, 3, Armstrong, 3, Cantwell, 3, O'Reilly, 4, Maluda from Hibs, 7, Dessers, who's my vice-captain, 3, and Kyogo, 7. So 89 points. I'm 2-1-4-6 overall. I am 3-5-1. I'm well out of where I even hoped I would be in terms of global rank. So that's me.
Was that a green arrow this week? But 89 is quite high.
I think it is a green arrow, but it's still shocking. Shocking, actually, overall. I thought I'd be in the 200s by now, but I'm just treading water. It's just that much players in the game. Hard to make ground.
Okay, I'll go next. I had 94 points this week, so that gave me a rank up to 53rd. And it was Butland for 7, Obita 2, Captain Tav 34, Ghent 3, McGrath 3, Armstrong 3, O'Reilly 4, McCowan 6, Bakayoko 4, Shanklin 16, Vice Captain Fuashi 12. I did make a mistake with Cantwell on the bench, Tony pointed out during it, but I managed to escape back 3 points. So not would have happened because my lowest point in the field was 3 points anyway. So
yeah,
didn't get that one. And as I said, that's up to 53rd. So top 50 still within target for 5 games to go. So
definitely.
Melvin, you're flying high. What was your scoring rank this week?
So I got 96 points. So I had Roos for 7, Devlin for 7, Cochrane for 3, Fish for 6, Captain Tav for 34, Cantwell 3, O'Reilly 4, McGowan 6, Shanklin 16, Vice Captain Dessers for 3, and Furuhashi for 7. So that gives me, I think it's 2-3-2-8, and a global score, grey arrow of 7th. So I'm in 7th place at the moment.
And it shows you 96 points scored and you don't move.
Stuff at the top.
The top is quite tough. I haven't looked at it yet. I had a look at it through actually after the Rangers game midweek, and some of the actually barnstorming result over 100 points got to first. But it is quite tight. I'm still saving the top 7 or 8. I could still, depending on what chips have got left. Right, so we're going to go into some different mention. We'll do form and fixture. So, Donny, over to you, and we'll take it through from top to bottom.
Top to bottom, bottom to top, it doesn't really matter. They're both bad teams, top and bottom. So I've got it at the bottom. We'll get the rubbish out of the way first. So Livingston, bottom. Oh, sorry, just before we start, we're going to head into the split. Now, a lot of people find the split as a clean slate, but for me, it can be a bit of a red herring. You've got teams like Livingston and Ross County that have won like 7 games out the whole season. They're not going to go on an amazing run just because they're playing the teams around them. So don't be fooled. Teams that are in the bottom 6 are there for a reason. They're not going to have a great run of form. Same at the top. Although Rangers have had a bad run recently, they're probably going to win more games than they lose. Same with Celtic. So just keep that in mind. But bottom of the league is Livingston. Peter, before give my thoughts on Livingston. What's your thoughts? I think we say the same thing every week, but we're better.
They're definitely gone, right? They're gone. Tom made a comment last week, the week before, I think. The only thing you can maybe see is they might start playing with a bit of freedom. Rather I see them play, rather I see the highlights, I'd see a really poor team. I mean, I think they played Celtic in the Cup. Was it the Cup a couple weeks ago or one of the league games? And they offered nothing. And I was going, right, well, you're down a goal. You need to get points to try to get relegation, and they offer nothing. And even I see them play another team, maybe Aberdeen, again, they look at a team just bereft of confidence. It's 1 year too many, I think, for them. And I don't think they're going to catch second bottom place. I just think it's a harder void. The only way you would think about that is if you're struggling with budget. But I think as we look through all those teams, there's other budget players who offer more. To me, it's a hard avoid. There's not one player on that team I'd want in my team.
100%. Melvin, anything to add to that?
No, not really. The only name that ever sort of pops up for Livingston, and I don't think he's been around for a while, is like the Sean Kelly penalty taker. But we've got plenty of budget now. So, yeah, yeah. I probably would avoid on that basis.
Exactly. I think the funny thing is they went 2-0 up against Hearts, and I thought, here they go. And then they went and lost, was it 4 or 5? They just conceded way too many. So no Livingston players for me. It's ones that you can target. I think when they play Aberdeen and they play Hibs, then that's sort of potential target areas, but not for me this season. So next, we've got Ross County. Got a good win, I believe, over the last couple of weeks. For me, they're a mixed bag, Melvin. Obviously, did a dirty with the Rangers game, but you're thinking about Ross County. You got any Ross County assets?
No, I haven't got any. I haven't had any for a while. I think you'd say that the goalkeeper is fairly decent, but I know Laidlaw's played the last one, but Wickens was playing before that. So I don't know whether Laidlaw's now back in the team, and that's the probable. If Laidlaw was playing, he would be tempting, I think, just because of all the save points. But and then is it Murray up top as well? Would probably be the only other one really that I'd probably consider, I think, if I was looking at Ross County. So.
Yeah. Tom is chief of the Simon Murray fan club. He'd be no doubt praising his recent form. Peter, they've done us quite well over the season in defence, but anything in Ross County for the last 5 games?
Yes, but Melvin mentioned there, the Wickens and goal to Laidlaw. I think we've all seen the team news on Saturday because the bottom six is Saturday and the top six is Sunday. So
we'll get
more clarification on who's the proper goalkeeper again. Laidlaw was a champion, I think, last season as well. He is good for bonus points. They've got something to fight for, Ross County. So I am a bit more higher on them. If they could play the way they play against Rangers every week, they would have nothing to worry about. Obviously, we see this a lot with these teams that don't do that. Murray's differential up top, not bad. I've got Efty, who's a cheap defender as well. He kind of plays fullback role, so he's a bit of a plug and play for me for like using sometimes the bench trick or if like a good fixture. And like if they play Livingston, I'll throw him in. I don't see it at this point in the season now. I'm going to be chasing defensive assets. It's a bit late. I'll be looking for upside in an attacker. So Murray, I'm sure we might cover this in the wild cards. Murray's a decent shout, a decent bit of form, but
yeah.
It's hard to say if you didn't have them go from. But if, again, a fixture, if they've got St Johnstone or Livingston and they look okay, then you might be able to target them. But again, that's just you kind of taking points at this point.
Yeah, there's upsides to Ross County. They've not had a great season. Whether they're only a point behind St Johnstone, Aberdeen are 5 points. So there's potential 6-pointers there when they meet in those games. I think scoring, when you're that far down in the league, counts for a lot. And I think they're probably more free scoring than St Johnstone, so they could overtake them. But that's the good thing about the bottom six, is you will get a rogue double or clean sheet that with your bench trick you can pick up points there. But so that's Ross County. We'll move on to St Johnstone. I don't think I've had a St Johnstone player in my team all season. I don't see that changing. Peter, we don't really play St Johnstone on this podcast for obvious reasons. I don't think that's going to change today, is it?
No, for St Johnstone, see Livingston. I think I brought St Johnstone at the start of the season for double game week, and I believe he was injured. Thanks to him, I brought a player in, and that is it. They don't fill me with any sort of. I couldn't name any 3 or 4 players right now because they don't really do anything. Whenever Tom was through the team, you might get the rogue or random 10-point defender who's got a clean sheet and a goal out of nowhere. To me, and my what I've seen, I think Ross County is going to catch them, so I would be avoiding St Johnstone and Livingston, and Ross County would be slightly above St Johnstone in my picks going forward.
Yeah. Melvin, we talked about Livingston and you said Sean Kelly. We talked about Ross County, you say Simon Murray, but when you think of St Johnstone, to me, there's no names that stand out apart from Clay Govan, and he's a bit of a muppet anyway. So anything in St Johnstone that we're maybe missing? You're obviously a lot higher than ranked than us.
No, nothing at all. I did bring in a St Johnstone player on my wild card,
Kucherevich.
But that was only because I was on bench boost and hoping to get doubled appearance points. I think I only picked up 3 and he was supremely dumped for a bench trick player the next week. So I think I've had one St Johnstone player for 1 week.
That was it. Sometimes a team burns you and you just don't forgive them for the rest of the season. Yeah, yeah. I think St Johnstone fall into that category. Yeah. Okay, next up, we've got Aberdeen. There's obviously a lot of hype about Aberdeen, about what they did at the weekend, but ultimately they still got beat. They are in a relegation fight, whether they want to believe it or not. Bottom six, they've been bottom six before. I think it was two seasons ago and they really didn't do much to get any better. Miovsky is obviously their best player. Melvin, do you think Miovsky will catch fire or will he protect himself looking ahead to transfer window? What do you think about Aberdeen?
I haven't got Miovsky and he would be one I'd consider bringing in depending on what happens on the front line and who's playing. Aberdeen have got Motherwell, St Johnstone, both at home. You see team news and they've got Livy at home as well. And then it's just Hibs and Ross County, they've got away. So, you know, they do. I've got double Aberdeen defence as well. So, and I'm going to sort of stick with them. Obviously, I'll probably put one on the bench and then Roos, the goalkeeper, I'll probably play. So, yeah, I'm bullish because they're bottom six. And because there's Livingston, Ross County and, well, Livingston and St Johnstone and to a lesser extent Ross County that they've got to play. So, yeah, I think there's mileage in their assets.
Time will tell. Peter, you got any Aberdeen players on your team?
I haven't got my graph right now.
Yeah.
Can't stretch to me, Oscar, with this, given my team set up. When I watched the game on Saturday, I thought they looked pretty well set up under the caretaker. I think they had a lot more fight about them. I don't know if it's because they've got a new coach incoming, so maybe they're fighting more. I believe they could be decent options, especially home fixtures. They will look to get themselves away from danger probably as quick as possible, so the first one or two games. So if I could get to Miosky, I would do it this week. I don't think I can, so I think I'll just stick with McGrath. He's been pretty decent to me, McGrath.
Yeah.
In the team this often. I don't have any defenders, so the keeper or depends what happens with the Wiccan situation or maybe Devlin is a nice cheap able in there. But again, I don't like doing that whole defensive route this time of season, so I'll probably stick what I've got right now and not bring anybody else in.
Hard to change keepers at this time of the season because you've probably got other holes that doesn't really stand out. I've got double Aberdeen defence, the same as Melvin. I think they've had back-to-back clean sheets, which has been handy. I've got McGrath as well. So I guess it's whether you want to put your face in Miovsky or whether you think he's going to check out and hopefully get a big summer move. But that's Aberdeen. Next up, we've got Motherwell. I think they'd be disappointed that they didn't make top six. But again, you've got a whole season to prove yourself and it didn't work out. Peter, we talk about Spittle, Bear as being their two main assets. Is there anything outside of that that you're either looking at or you might move to?
Not that I'm looking at. I've got Ghent. He played the last two.
That's so, right, yeah.
And the game's just a cheap guy in it, so I could stretch his squad out more. I probably have him benched this week, mind you, because it's Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Spittle, I don't know. Who's their first? Was Aberdeen at home in the first fixture or what way?
They are away to Aberdeen and then they're home to Livingston. So, yeah, you're probably best just to hold on to them.
If I was going
to
hold on, it would be next week. And the same names always mentioned would be Bear or Spittle would come in.
Spittle.
Then Spittle's away to Hearts now, so I don't know if they're on it. I watch obviously this week because Spittle's now moving club and Motherwell are pretty much safe and they're done. They're not going to ever near it. So there could be rotation in this team now. Could you get players in? It's not because he's looking for next season. So it's one I'll be voting for the team sheet come Saturday to see when I go for that.
Yeah. Melvin, Motherwell done you well over the season?
I've had Spittle and Bear on the odd, not a great deal, but yeah, they have done me, sort of kept me going. I think I agree in terms of you get team news for the first two game weeks on Motherwell, so you can sort of have a look there. Bear and Spittle were the two I had written down. I'm not really interested. I don't think there's anyone else I'd be interested in on those. So yeah.
Stuff. Yeah, I mean, exactly the same for me. Yeah. It's going to be the same names, target the Livingston, St Johnstone games, and maybe he's off in the rest. It's bench trick all over. So, last up in the bottom six, again, another team that will be disappointed to find themselves in there. We have got Hibs. out of all the teams in the bottom six, this is probably the one that I've got the most hope for, and just because of the way that they play, they've scored quite a lot of goals. Defensively, they've done not too bad in the last few weeks. Melvin, Hibs, you've got a couple of Hibs players on your team.
Yeah, I've got Fish. I got rid of Mayaluda only because I wanted to bring in sort of, you know, Guesses or someone like that. But yeah, Fish. I chose Fish over, was it Obita, I think. Not because... I think just for the security of minutes, he seemed to... And he was picking up the odd bonus, I think, as well. So I just brought him in and he served me well last week and got a clean sheet. So I think up top, Mayaluda. I should have listened to your podcast advice and Tom's advice not to have Boyle, but I've had him for 3 weeks during my Royalty Rumble. He got me 2-2 and 3, I think. So I wouldn't go near him. And I think, yeah, Mayaluda, Fish, Marcondes in midfield, he looks quite lively as well. Yeah, up top, isn't there Ewan and Lafondre? There seems to be just too many for my liking. I think if I was going for one, I'd go for Mayaluda because he's, what, 4.3, 4.4 or something. If you need budget, I think I'd go. You'd have to tack the last five game weeks of the season, I think.
He's my third striker, and he's gone on a really good scoring form in the last few games. So for me, he stays. Peter, Hibs, a team that you're looking to invest in?
I've got Obita, so actually, I don't know, Obita, because he scored a goal and an assist and a couple of clean sheets since I brought him. So he's been pretty safe. He'll stay there. St Johnson away next. So my dilemma probably will be the third striking option. Bakayoko obviously doesn't cost a lot of money, so it's going to have to be either Murray or Malouda as the cheap alternatives. Better fixtures. Dundee's now the top six, so I kind of fixture on a question. I'm easing off Dundee, I think, now going into the next games. So I need to mull that over about what striking options I'm bringing, and that would be kind of I'm going to look. Midfield, I think there's too many good options midfield to bring in another Hibs midfielder. The one, I can't remember you mentioned his name, he actually done okay. He starts with an M as well. Can't remember his middle.
Marcondes, he's done okay
as well. But again, I would probably prefer to trust in Armstrong or McGrath over him at this point. So this is a
difference. No, absolutely. Nothing really to add there. I've probably cleansed myself on the Martin Boyle situation. I think I've got that out of my system now. I'll probably change at the start of next season. I'll be all aboard the Boyle train, but I think he's just had one of those seasons. He never really recovered from injury to get back in the scoring form. And I think penalties were taken off him as well. So
you can't finish course.
No, I was just going to say the same names, Fish, Obita, Malouda up front. I think that's going to stay you well.
On Boyle, the best I saw him play was when at the Asian Cup, because I was watching the highlights of that and I was like, right, bring him back in, and then done nothing when he came back home again. So a false dawn. So again, you mentioned, Donny, next year, if he's got a full pre-season under his belt, he is a player, you know he's got form, but this season's been stop-start with him, and it's never looked out from at all, did it?
Yeah, no. He's an Aberdeen lad. The rumour was he was a Hearts supporter. I don't suppose that'll ever see the light of day, but yeah, he's an Aberdeen lad. He's a good guy. Did well coming through the leagues. So we move into the top six. Now, I suppose the interesting thing about the top six is a lot is still alive outside of the top three positions, because with the way the cup has landed at the weekend, there's an extra spot for Europe. So St Mirren and Dundee can actually still get into Europe. So it doesn't mean that they're dead fixtures, but if you do want to take a risk, it would be a risk. So starting off, the team in sixth is Dundee. They've been talked about quite a lot recently in Scotland because of the state of their pitch. No more so than against Rangers when they managed to hold out for a 0-0 draw. Probably the surprise team of the season. Not the fact that they finished top six, but you know, coming from the Championships last year. They've got tough fixtures. They've got a ground that doesn't really help them. I've got a Dundee defender. I'll probably look to ship him out. Dundee players have done this not too bad over the course of this season. Peter, where are you at with Dundee?
I've got three right now, but one's an on-playing player in Beck, which I just think I'll leave there now. There's no point in waste of transferring that. So it's McCowan, who I got onto late. I think I talked to him for weeks upon weeks. I got him in and he returned. So he'll probably bench Trick this week, but it's Bakayoko. I think I'll need to get Shorty. I mentioned that earlier on. I wouldn't be buying the new players in if you don't have any. If you've got the ones you've got, you can use them. I mean, McCown can do well against most teams, I imagine. It's just the fixtures are pretty hard. But the European aspect Donnie mentioned there is the thing I didn't even think about there. So plus the monetary for other positions, it makes a 40, 60 grand for these clubs. Yeah. It's a lot of money in Scotland. So I'm assuming they'll go out. They've had a really good season. They've done well for us actually in this game because they were really cheap assets at the start. So, and they seem to return when it was double game weeks as well. The players that we were bringing in done well. So if you've got them, suppose you could hold them and try the bench tricks here you get on. I wouldn't be getting out there to buy in then.
That's the struggles of being in the top six when you're one of the weaker teams. You know, not having Aberdeen and Hibs in there, the teams that are replacing them are really going to have to fight to make any grounds. Melvin, Dundee done you well this season?
McGowan's been, really, really good, actually, in terms of brought him on the wild card. I think just looking, he got me an 11-pointer, and then the last 4, 6, 8, 5, 7, he ticks along. He's quite good for sticking on the bench. You know, when they're playing Celtic next, aren't they? So you could sort of stick him on the bench as a sort of bench trick. I have got Beck. It was Beck or Shaughnessy was sort of my choice, I think. And I went for Beck for the attacking, and then he's sort of now injured. So I've ended up with two bench trick players, which I've actually decided to keep because it's quite handy. You can put three on the bench and you get your permanent two from three. Obviously, the danger is as soon as one of your players gets injured, then you know, you're playing all your playing players. Yeah. But actually, you can check team news and things like that. So I think I'm probably just going to stick with a double bench trick player for the, you know, two bench trick players for the rest of the season, really. And, yeah, go for that. But, yeah, no other Dundee interests me. So,
yeah, no, I think the biggest downfall my season was not giving Dundee enough respect. I was late on the Beck train. Eventually took him in, obviously got rid of him in December, took him back straight away thinking he was going to show the same form. He absolutely didn't. I don't think I've had McGowan or McCowan. I had Bakayoko at the start of the season. I think I did well in that. But Dundee in general, I've not given them enough credit. And I think that's one of the reasons I've not done well. My screen's gone blank, so I'm just going to freestyle the next one, which I believe is St Mirren. Another team that have gone about their job quite quietly. We don't talk about, every time we talk about them, we don't say the same thing. We don't really give them any credit, but they're ticking along well. I see Strain's back. He's only 2.5 million, and that's not too bad. But again, you think of St Mirren, there's no real standouts right now for me. Melvin, would you be in agreement?
Yeah, I haven't got any sort of St Mirren on the radar. Yeah, Strain for me is the sort of go to. But has he actually played? Has he?
Because I'm. It did come back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Did he come back on? Okay, yeah. So, but there's always a risk there, isn't there, of him maybe recurring. Tanza's the other one, maybe. But I think if they were bottom six, you know, you might want to sort of consider maybe those. But I think not top six. Not top six. Not for me.
No. Peter, anything on St Mirren?
If it was a start of the season, Strange back fit, they went for him, but it's a bit late. Tanza's one we had on, and the one player we did, I think we slept on most season, was Greg Kilty. He's actually top 20 for points scored on the whole game. But it's just that many players to pick from. I don't know if his goals came in like wee kind of purple patches and back out the team again, whereas maybe like an Armstrong was more consistent in bonus points. Again, his fixtures left the game. Nobody really stands out. I feel like I bring a St Mirren player in, I head up with just 2 points.
Yeah.
I know you can be lucky and go for it. Again, they're playing the top six teams, so it's putting me off. They're going to the same kind of position as Dundee. Or they're going to play harder games. I know Donnie mentioned there will be a game somewhere where they blow somebody out of the water. Hopefully it's a Sunday. But again, it's the same situation applies. I find it hard to go for these players when there's other more people who have proven you well over the season with better fixtures coming up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think they'll probably think if they beat Dundee, which is the second game week, that would probably be enough. They're 2 points ahead. That would put them 5 points ahead. That's probably going to see them safe for the rest of the season. But again, they're top six. They're actually fifth. It's credit to everyone at St Mirren. Only to be outdone by Kilmarnock. Again, another team having a great season. There's players in there that we talk about week in, week out. There's players that are suddenly hitting form up front. Peter, how do you see Kilmarnock between now and the end of the season?
That's the game I'm not looking forward to from a personal point of view. The midweek game at Kilmarnock, they've done Celtic over a few times this year. Armstrong's in my team. I feel loath to bring him out because I feel the time I bring him out, he does something. So he'll be in there. Is it Watkins up front or Marley Watkins? He's at some things really well. They don't keep a great array of clean sheets, so defensively, no. I mean, I think we all had Ndab at one point to start because it was so cheap, but he'd injury prone in and out of the team. So I'll just hang my hat on Armstrong and hopefully, again, they fall in the same situation. They've got a harder game, so do you go for a striker there? When we've mentioned strikers before, better other options. And we've still got the big two teams to talk about with their option and Shankland, obviously. So to me, it's I'll stick with Armstrong. I'm not bringing anybody else into my team.
Yeah. It is. Again, it's hard on these top six teams. Just looking at the league table in the last five games, Kilmarnock are the only team that haven't lost a game in the last five games. So in terms of form, they're doing okay. Melvin, have you seen Kilmarnock this season?
No, I haven't seen them. Armstrong's the one in my team who I brought in a few weeks back. I'd like you guys, I did have Ndaba for a while because he was so cheap and stuff. But yeah, I think the problem sort of with Kilmarnock is that they got Rangers the second game and Celtic the fourth game. So if you want to sort of do a hokey-cokey, it's costing you a couple of transfers. If you could sort of have Armstrong for three games and then swap him for, I don't know, McGowan or something like that, if they've got two decent fixtures. But yeah, it sort of doesn't land. But so I wouldn't, I'll keep Armstrong, I think, unless I see an option to sort of move him on. But yeah, no, I don't know if you're bringing anybody in. I'm not sure I'd bring Armstrong in either if I didn't have him.
No, I agree. I was quite surprised he didn't make, it was one of the teams of the season. I think it was the SPFL team of the season. He wasn't in it. I would certainly have him up there as one of the best players in midfield. But usual names. I think Watkins and Vassell up front, Armstrong, can't go wrong with them. But again, it's going to come down to fixtures. So the team in third, comfortably in third, is Hearts. They're a mixed bag, Hearts, because they've got players in all positions, but I guess we just look at Shankland and pin all our hopes on him. Melvin, you've got Shankland. He's done well for you. So you are obviously going to keep faith with him, I believe.
Yeah, so I think, because wasn't there one game, not last game, the game before, he wasn't even in the squad. And I don't know whether that was an injury, a knock or something.
A shoulder or something like that, or bugging through the team. That was excuse Tuesday anyway.
Yeah, so I think the good news is we see team news for the first two games, the one away to Killian and away to Celtic. So if he's not in the lineup, then Miovski will be coming in for me for Shankland. But if Shankland's there, then I'll play him. I've got Cochrane as well. He's been quite a good asset for me over the years, actually. Another good one to sort of use, you know, as a part of sort of your bench as well. The problem with Shankland is he's not on penalties anymore, is he? Or is he? You know,
I think he did take one recently.
But then the one before that, was it Grant or somebody?
Yeah, George Grant.
Yeah, that took the other one. So, yeah. But the problem is he got 16 points the week before, or last week, didn't he? And then he, yeah. So I think I'll probably keep him if he's playing. So the debate is always around, do you vice captain when he's got an away game, away to Killy? Yeah, I think that will be the call, won't it? I think, because you won't see who Celtic or Rangers have got, because you don't get your team mm-hmm. news. So you sort of, you know, do you punt on a Dessers or a Furuhashi? And they'll probably both be in the team. Well, you boys will know that better than me, but, you know, or do you go for the guaranteed Shankland that you can see is in the team? I don't know. Yeah, so that would be the debate, I think.
Peter, you're head of the Hearts fan club these days. What do you think?
Keeping the Hearts hat fan club. I thought they were atrocious on Sunday, mind you. Again, the layover, get a belly tickle. Apart from that, Shankland's a no-brainer. I wouldn't get rid of him. We've mentioned this before. He's fixture-proof. He scores against any team nine times out of ten.
Have you got him in your team, Peter?
Yes.
Back. I don't.
Yeah. How many goals he scored this season, Lee? Is that up to 24, 25, something like that? So if you look at it that way, he's pretty much vice-captainable most weeks. Is this that we tend to go for a Celtic Rangers player at home? Because it's kind of... But he's done it, so I'm quite assuming the guys at the top have held him all year. And Melbourne's point stands there and all. I mean, Furuhashi's probably more nailed to start up top than Dessers, I think. But Dessers scored two goals in the Cup, so I'd imagine he stays in the position. But Shankland's got the you've seen him in the team, so it's one you can think up, well, ponder on during the weekend. But I don't think you'd be wrong in picking Shankland either, because he scores in most games.
Okay, well, I don't have Shankland, so I will try and defend my corner in that one, because I don't think I'm going to bring him in. Well, until Sunday, I was definitely going to bring him in, but because Desser scored two, he's now back in favour. But Hearts are third. They're not going to get caught. So Europe is guaranteed. We've got a big tournament in the summer, of which Shankland is going to be part of, potentially going to get a transfer as well. So for me, is he going to go out there all guns blazing? Possibly. He did in the last game. But I'm going to sort of bet against him and say that maybe for the run-in, he just ticks over and maybe doesn't try as hard. Whether that works out or not, we'll have to wait and see. But he's been one of the players of the season. He gets you goals. I think the penalties, he will be on penalties if he's on the pitch. He's a captain. But that whole Scotland thing is the reason that I'm probably not going to get him in that aspect. But no, they've had a good season, a lot of clean sheets, and they've played some good stuff. Okay, second place. I guess this is what you're all waiting to hear from myself. I've not done a podcast. I think it's about a month now. I was on holiday before the Rangers-Celtic game, but they've been an absolute bin fire since the last time I spoke. They took one look at the edge of the cliff and ran headfirst off it. So I don't know what you do with this team. I'm obviously going to back them as a Rangers fan, but They have dropped the ball somewhat in the last couple of weeks. I think at this stage in the game, you need three Rangers and you need three Celtic. Rangers need to win all their games, and that might not even be enough. Celtic will want to win all their games and do so in style. So for me, you're going to need three and three. I think if you're on double Rangers defence and it was Butland, that's hard to get out of. We've said you don't really want to change your keeper. But for me, the amount of goals that they've leaked of late is a concern. That being said, as I say, it's hard to get out of. Tav is probably going to be in your team. I can't see past Cantwell at this stage of the season with five to go. And Deathers is a big dilemma. A lot of people vice-captained them on this double and got their fingers burned. I was firmly one of them. And as I say, until the weekend, he was the first name to get the hook. I think he's going to get the games. There's only five to go. We're going to need goals. As bad as he is and as many chances as he takes to sort of get a goal, he's probably one of our main hopes. So for me, I think you've got to stick with him. I wouldn't go and get him right enough. If I didn't have him, I wouldn't chase him. But because I've got him, I'll keep him. Cantwell, again, he's not had a good game of form, so he's due. And Tav, you're not going to go out changing Tav at this moment in time. So that's Rangers. I mean, Peter, you'll be delighted with what's going on. So how are you gonna pan out Rangers between now and the end of the season?
Well, I've got three of the stick. I can't get to the Nigerian nightmare up top, so I'll stick with Cantwell, Tav and Butland. Again, like you said, I would have liked to have went to Dessers at this point for a run-in, but it would cause me hits, and I'm like, am I really worth doing it? I'll just go over the tried and test, stick with what I've got now. That's the four you mentioned, the four pretty much you would be looking to get in if any chances to make. I don't see anywhere else. Lundstrom ticks over, but he doesn't offer that attacking threat.
I don't think between now and the end of the season, keeping in mind there's a Celtic game in there as well, I don't think he's going to threat too much. You've got to go for something that's going to give you a bit of flair and creativity. Seaman's got injured again, so it's not going to come there. Because Lynn's a striker, so you're not going to take him in. Anyone else is at risk, as I say. If you don't have Dessers, probably don't go and get them. If you've got them, potentially just hold on to them. Melvin, obviously lost out on some points in the double game week. Rangers capitulating, but you holding firm with your Rangers players?
Yeah, I think so. Got excited over the weekend when I saw Dessers scored and Cantwell assisted, and then realised it was Scottish Cup rather than... It was one of those things, wasn't it? But yeah, I've got Dessers, Cantwell and Tav. So I will be sticking definitely for first two. And then when we get to the 36, game week 36, you'll see team news against Celtic. And you get team news in 37 against Dundee at home. So that's crucial. So I will be holding at least one transfer, if not two, going into that. And if Dessers isn't in the team and Silver is or something like that, then you can make the switch there. The team news bench trick to me is the number one thing in Fantasy Football Scotland, quite closely followed by, I think, team news for a Rangers or Celtic asset. So, but yeah, I'll be sticking with my three.
Good stuff. We go to the team that's top for Tish now, Celtic. They've obviously feel like they've won a watch this last couple of weeks. But lucky enough to have been down this road many times that they'll want to see it out. If I was going to be doing a deep dive this week, I think I would probably do it on Alistair Johnson. I think he's been playing pretty well at the back. He's had quite a few assists. He does like to give away a penalty, but he's 4.5 million, so he is premium, but he's only 3% owned. So if that's a move you wanted to make, then I wouldn't be against it. Melvin, come to you first before we let Peter gloat. How do you see your Celtic three lining up?
Yeah, I am just looking. I think I've only got two. I've only got two at the moment. So I've got Furuhashi, who actually, looking at everyone around me, I don't think anyone's got him in sort of the top seven, top eight. So could be a differential in itself. If a vice captain, that could, maybe that's a step too far, but it's still possible. And I've got O'Reilly, who seems to be as locked as probably Tav is in people's teams. It's not that I don't think we should have a third Celtic asset. It's which one. And I've been sort of debating I like Hatate, or I have liked him. Kun looks pretty useful. And Maeda, I was sort of thinking, obviously he's injured now, which is Ida as well. But I think if I go for one, it'll probably be in midfield to sort of try and swap with someone like McGowan or Armstrong or something like that and bring in a third Celtic asset. But yeah, we don't see team news, so I might just hold on. And I might, it's against Dundee though, isn't it? So yeah, there's a bit of a dilemma there of what to do. I don't think I'll be keen in bringing in a defender at this late stage of the season, even though it is Celtic, because I think every team seems to be leaking goals at the moment.
Right, Peter, let's hear that.
What do you want to hear? My options are I'm not saying the league yet. It's far too tight. And after that game on Saturday, we've got that in us. So that could happen in the game. So I'm just taking one game at a time that way. When it comes to the fantasy aspect, I like the Johnson shout. I just don't trust Celtic for clean sheets. You'd be really looking for assist points. So I'm like Melvin, I've got O'Reilly and Furuhashi. O'Reilly doesn't really matter. Everybody's got them. So Furuhashi differential as well. And my option would be, if a third player would be Hatate. I think he's just starting more over again. And I think, right, if you're going for midfielder, he's relatively cheap. If it's for final five games, it would be between Hatate and Kun as the two. He's not fully fit yet. He's lasting more minutes as the weeks go on. So if you want to take a point, the third player, that's the two I'd go for. Or McGregor, but again, he's not fully fit either. So it's hard to nail a third one. That's why I've only got two select players as well, because of rotation.
Yeah.
Across the defence. This week I'll be moving a striker this week, but if I see more from Hatate and Kun, that'll probably be my transfer for the next game week for going to the final three or four games. But that's the two. I'm not even 100% confident that they'll get 90 minutes either. So in this game you're looking for guys that are guaranteed and guaranteed minutes, and it's players coming back for injury or from fitness, stuff like that. So I can't even see they're nailed. So the ones that are technically really nailed, you would say, is the keeper, the two fullbacks, and Carter Vickers. But I caveat that with his defence, and I don't think they'll guarantee clean sheets.
Joe Hart doing himself out of penalty business at the weekend there.
Yes. No, I won't ever see a penalty ever again.
We've all got the same two Celtic players, but I've got a third, which is Kun. I've not been overly impressed with him from a fantasy point of view. I'm kind of waiting for him to tick off. I'll probably hold, because there's no point in going Kun to Hatate. It doesn't really make sense, so I'll probably hold on that. I agree with what you say about defence. Johnson, you're probably going to get much the same, but I think he's playing quite well just now, apart from the penalties he gives away. So, Kyogo, so Melvin, you say the teams in the top don't have him, so who have they got instead, just out of interest?
So I'll have a quick look.
Shankland bought one, I'm imagining.
Shankland, Desert, is it Bear?
Maybe Desert.
I doubt you'd be top.
I think I'll have a look. Yeah, so Shankland, Desert, Miovsky.
Yeah.
That type of thing. Vassell, Miovsky, and Desert. I'm just going through sort of top three.
I mean, they are foreign players.
Shankland, Simmer, and Mayaluda. Yeah, and then, there's another one with Desers and Miovsky and Mayaluda. So I'm starting to worry about Miovsky now. Miovsky again, Shankland and Bear. Maybe I'll be bringing in Miovsky. But no, I think, yeah. So, yeah, I don't think any of them have got them.
Well, I would stick with them. I think,
yeah.
Kyogo, if he scores, can score too. I think some of these other players are less likely in that respect. So just while we've been talking, I know there's a question about wildcards and that, which we're going to spend time on. For me, looking at the way the league is split, top six, bottom six, I would be wanting to run three Rangers, three Celtic, a couple Aberdeen, a couple of Hibs, and Killy, probably Motherwell are the only other teams I would trust outside of that. Melvin, are you shaping up any different? Are you targeting the same teams?
Yeah, I think you know, the likes of Blair and Bear and Spittle for Motherwell, you know, maybe your Hibs, definitely three Celtic and three Rangers if you can get them. Like I say, if we knew the Ross County goalkeeper, then if you wanted to go there, Laidlaw, then maybe. I wouldn't touch St Johnson or Livingston. And Yeah, and the fixture runs, they don't lend themselves. They're all sort of, they've got all got Rangers and Celtic sort of in the middle, and there's not sort of a good run of two or three. Aberdeen look probably the best run of the lot, with Motherwell, St Johnstone at home, Hibs away, and then Livy at home, and following on with Ross County at the end. If you're going to pick a fixture run outside of Celtic and Rangers, that's probably it. But there's only really, most people got Miovski, except me. So I think that's where I'd go.
Peter, are you the same? Two best in the top six, two best in the bottom six? Hold up then.
I think that's a sensible way to go. And then if you go with that and then look and see who you want to go yourself with differential, who you fancy, maybe try to be a bit different in the crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, Miovski, the one that's given the fear after the top list here, have played well.
It's only Aberdeen, guys. Settle down, eh?
Yeah.
Settle
down. I know, but
he has got previous. He is a good player. I mean, I saw it first on a Saturday. He gives defenders a fear. If he's up for it, I mean, he's a good player. Like playing against some of the weakest teams in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, he will go big. I'm assuming he'll go big in one of these games, whether you're on at the right time or not. And if you're not, then. But there's that many good options to pick for up top. I mean, you mentioned Furuhashi. He's probably got a bigger ceiling. He could maybe go bigger, go one or two. But again, if Celtic are winning the 60 minutes, you've got a good chance of getting pulled off the pitch as well.
Yeah.
Playing the full 90. Whereas Shankland and Miovski probably complete the majority of their games. So you can move these things up with the fixture. So there's no really wrong answer. It depends on how you want to kind of play the game.
Okay, so that's form and fixtures and everything in between. So, Peter, back to you.
Right, so it's just some questions. A lot of these questions we've covered over, so I'll kind of quick fire. If I'm the wild card, mate, if it's on for a minute. I don't like doing a wild card report. I've said that before. I feel that I don't like picking a team for somebody, same as like the FPL. I could just advise who we'd pick in different positions, and you can pick the bones yourself that. But the first question is from Michael Scott, so Yala Leopard. Could you discuss the best picks each position for a wildcard squad if planned to use this week after the split? Right, so we've went through teams that were mentioned names, but Melvin's got something different. So what you could call it, a boom or bust wildcard, Melvin?
I can sort of just read out something that I've sort of come up with. It's almost like one of those, you go all in on your defence, all in on the attack. So I'll just read it out and just give you very quickly why, you know, if you want to do a boom or bust, I've gone for a triple Rangers defence of Butland, Goldstone and Captain Tav. And then I've got Gordon, another Hearts defender, and Cochrane for when Celtic play Rangers in the middle game week. You can have Hearts against Dundee. Kuhn, Hatate and O'Reilly just hit the midfield in Celtic for Celtic. Spittle as the other midfielder. And then it leaves you with to attack the bottom six with Meyer Luder, Miovski and Bear. And then you'll just have a non-playing player as well. That gives me a couple of million in the bank as well. So I'm sure most people could sort of afford that. It's one of those, you bank Rangers. If you're going to bank anyone in the Scottish League, I think for a clean sheet, it's probably Rangers. And if you're going to bank somebody to score, it's probably going to be Celtic. So that's sort of the theory on that. But it's all team dependent. I reckon you could probably get, you might do very well with that. But then you might bust because if Rangers start letting in a few goals. But I think that's the way to attack it if you're quite a few points off. If people have probably got at least one or two Celtic attackers, so you need three, that type of thing.
I like it, but it would give me the absolute fear watching Sports Scene or the highlight show with 85 minutes and it's still 0-0 and you just wait for an inevitable goal to get lit in.
Exactly,
I really hate that with a double up, treble up. What do you think, Donny? I think I did that well. Catch something completely different?
I'm not having a good season, so I can pretty much do whatever I want. It's when you're at the top, you want to get the best rank as possible. So it is really hard to go differential because, you know, the players that are scoring well for a reason, and you end up taking them out for somebody else. You lose out twice. So it's hard to see past the template at this stage for you guys if you're wanting to get the best rank possible. But for me, I can just do whatever I like. It's not a problem.
Right, hope that, Michael Scott. Right, so next up is FPL Bacon. He says, I have two free transfers to play with. Goalkeepers are Clark and Carson. Should I spend a free transfer to get a goalkeeper in the bottom six to replace Carson or stay focused on attacking upgrades? looking at possibility of transferring Death or Spittle upgrading the bench. So first of all, I don't like getting rid of a goalkeeper, my first point this late in the season. I don't think Platt's guaranteed to finish the season with Gordon back in, so there's one he might have to make a move on. Carson's still keeper, but he's still, has he gone for Dundee?
Well, McCracken was playing. Isn't
he injured, Carson? Right. Is he injured?
So, yeah. I think that's probably what he's asked.
Yep, he's answered his own question there. Yep. They're not guaranteed he needs to get a playing goalkeeper and one. I wouldn't spunk to get one on it. But the other one I would go up possible up transfer out to Death or Spittle upgrading the bench. Again, it's team dependent. I wouldn't be taking out Dessers this week after they scored two goals. Any thoughts, Donny?
No, absolutely. Just on the keeper's front, Roos at $2.5 million. I think that's probably enough to spend to see it between now and the end of the season. But yeah, keep Dessers. You get two games before the Old Firm. If he does nothing, you can ditch him. If he's scoring, then just keep him. But Dessers for me, just because he managed to score two is more than enough. And in terms of bench, you want a good bench. You don't have to go all out. But as I said, the bottom six can be unpredictable. You'll get a random clean sheet, a random goal. That, you know, if you've got a mixed bench, it just gives you that opportunity to get some extra points that you wouldn't normally expect.
What do you think, Melvin? You upgrade the bench or just get players that are basically playing the bench at this point in the season?
I would just attack. I'd get players. I wouldn't be doing any hokey cokies or, you know, like I said, I've got two bench trip players, so I'm only really playing with, you know, 12, but, you know, you can see what the team news is and stuff like that. So coming back to the goalkeeper situation, I would 100% get a goalkeeper in if I had Carson and Clark, because Clark doesn't, I think Gordon's come in and Carson, I think, is injured. So you know, to me, minutes, you know, you get five games out of a goalkeeper, you're going to. I think I would even do that if I didn't have any transfers. I'd do a -4 on a goalkeeper if I didn't have one at all. Simply because I get five games and you can probably get maybe one or two clean sheets out of your player. So yeah, Roos or Marshall for Hibs or something like that. But yeah, I definitely do that.
Right. And the last question is from Falcon DeLacy. So first up, is Dessers or Ida? I think we may all agree here, it needs to be Dessers. He's probably more nails right now, unless something happens with team news, but I don't see why bring Ida in over Furuhashi at all, or over Dessers. Agree, Melvin?
Well, I've actually got written down Ida, and I can't remember when the question comes through, I'd probably switch back to Dessers now. I only had Ida, I think, because he may be on penalties. But if I was choosing, I think I've changed my mind. I'll go back to Dessers, I think.
Don't you agree, Dessers?
Yeah, Fred. So the only reason I would have Rida is if I have him and Kyogo and go down that route. But minutes, you have to go with minutes. And whilst Ida could come off and score, that's not enough. I think you need to have the best starting player.
Now, you're on the risk there. That's too much to a gamble. Next up is the cream of the bottom six. So I think we discussed that. We went through the form of the team. So any players there, just revert back to that. I mean, we mentioned all the teams covered there. And time to Dundee players, again, we kind of covered that as well. It wouldn't be rushing to bring players in. If you've got freedom, then I think you should start maybe filtering them out, maybe one every game week, unless they hit a decent bit of form. But again, unless you disagree with that, do you agree with both three points?
Yeah, no, it's happy enough for that.
Yeah, I would if I got spare transfer, I would definitely dump Dundee if I could, if I had spare, but except McGowan. But I wouldn't do anything for a hit or anything like that. I wouldn't get my Dundee players out for a hit, definitely not. You just bench trick them. But agreed.
Right, okay. Discussed all that, so all questions answered. So we always finish it with is, you know, you've seen all that, you know the fixture, who's playing who. What is your captain, vice captain, and transfer plans, if any, this week, Melvin?
So, captain Tav has been nearly the whole season, and it just depends on team news. The Hearts Kilmarnock team news. So, if Shankton's in the team, then I will stick with him, and I probably will vice captain him because I know he's playing. If he's not in the team, then I think I'll move over to Miofsky. But apart from that, if not, I'll roll a transfer. Because I quite like the next group of matches where I've seen the team news for 10 of the 12 teams. and I can sort of reassess where we are in terms of who I want, I think, going forward and how far or near I am off the top.
Okay, Donny, same question yourself?
For once, I'm not too sure. And I've got two free transfers, which makes it even worse. Over the course of the podcast, I'm getting Miowski fear. They'll go down that route. I've got Dundee defender, so that might be one transfer. Dessers, Kyogo, Maluda at the moment. Do I change that to Miowski? I'd have to take a look, see how the money works out. So I'm not too sure there. I mean, certainly a captain Tav. Fixture-wise, I would want to go Dessers or Kyogo, and I get that they don't play until the Sunday, but I don't have Miowski or Shankland right now, so I can't really go there. So once I've made my 2-3 transfers, I will make my decision then. So I'm sorry that doesn't help, but it's just the situation of my team right now.
Okay. And myself, it's Captain Tav. I think I'll just stick with Vice-Captain Kyogo, we'll get to nitty-gritty stage of the season. And a transfer will be Bakayoko to either one of Murray or Maluda, probably leaning towards Maluda. But again, team news dependent. If anything else springs out there, like a player's dropped that I've got, I'd have to do that fire instead, I would do that, but that's the way I'm looking at it. Right, okay, that's us then. So, before we head off in the sunset, I'll let you get plugs in. Melvin, where people find you online?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, at Melvinho1968.
Donny?
And I am at FFS underscore Donny.
And I'm at Fantasy Half. Again, I will post out the final cup of the season's draw later on when I've got a bit of time, and then that'll take us to the end of the season. And again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you all later. Thanks for joining us, Melvin. That was very insightful from a top manager.
Thanks, all.
Good luck.
Cheers. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.